welcome to PokeSports, the competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike, and I still play with one Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin. I bought an electric bike.
Kevin bought an electric bike. Tell me about that.
So I thought this would help me go outside. We'll see if it works.
Do you have the electric bike?
No, the way that this company works, it's like, it's actually a pretty small company. It's US based. They have quarterly manufacturing cycles, right?
Okay.
So I got my shipment done right before they were going to hit manufacturing, and I should be receiving it in about a week. But yeah, they only build it every couple of, I think like once a month or something is when they build it, ship it out, and then it's yours.
Do you think you're going to get right on the bike when it comes and like be an avid user the second it comes?
Yes, probably.
Okay.
Listen, I like scooting around, man.
It's a new shiny toy.
Yeah, it's scooting around. It's like kind of a scoot, but not yet a motorcycle. Goes up to like 20 miles an hour, though, 20, 25. Whoa. Yeah, that's fast. Whoa. That's scary. That's enough to hurt myself. Like,
sure. I don't think I would get the electric bike. I would probably consider the electric scooter, but I don't live in a place that is nice all year round.
Fair. I mean, neither do I.
Right.
But I mean, the original thought was like, hey, you just don't go outside when it's not nice.
You're not wrong.
It's like, okay, it's raining. Maybe I shouldn't go outside.
Well, and this works out nicely too for your schedule, right? Because you have like a whole morning that you can use every day.
I mean, yeah, if I wasn't up until 4 a.m., yeah, I could do that.
Well, that's
that's a me problem.
That's a you problem. Yeah.
That's a me problem. When I used to stream, and I do plan on streaming again, so be patient. I used to stream until 2:30. Okay. So if I was if I was just a better person, I would stream until 2:30. Be like, okay,
dentist time.
Brush my teeth, go to bed, and wake up nice and refreshed. Get some stuff done in the morning. But no, the problem is I stream until 2:30 dentist time.
Dentist time. Thank you.
And then stay up. keep going. Keep living.
Well, I mean, you have momentum at that point. So when you go to bed at 4 o'clock, I'm going to keep us from doing the podcast. We have like too much to talk about today, but I'm going to keep us from doing the podcast because
I'm going to keep trying to derail you, and you got to keep putting us back.
When you go to sleep at 4 a.m., when do you wake up?
Like 11, 10:30. I don't get a full 8 hours.
Okay.
You think I could do what I do with a full 8 hours? That's hilarious.
No. I definitely don't. I know that momentum plays a big role in it. And I mean, for me, you know, I famously don't get very much sleep.
You got a whole kid in there. So it's like, you might as well be dentist time.
She just came down before we started recording, and we record this pretty late for the people who don't know. It's a very late recorded podcast. She woke up, she came down, and she was like, I can't sleep. Or rather, I woke up. And I said nothing. And then she went back to bed.
And you said, honey.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a task.
I said, hey, Joanna, go for it. And she did. She's the best. Hi, Joanna. Big shout out. Yes. Cool. Are we talking about Pokemon today? Or
I sure hope so, because we have way too many things. So what ended up happening last week was we recorded the podcast the day after Milwaukee, and I guess they didn't update Victory Road for a very long time.
It did. That's true.
About their like teams and stuff. So we didn't really have many things to talk about. And today we have so many teams to talk about. We have
all of it is there.
Yeah. We have a whole Regulation D to talk about, because me and Mike both dipped our toes in Regulation D this last week.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm going to shed a little bit of light on the argument that we had.
Oh,
because we had a disagreement, and I think it's healthy to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Welcome to the last episode of PokeSports.
Welcome to the final episode of PokeSports. All right.
Me and Mike had a discussion.
So if you look at the YouTube channel, youtube.com/PokeSports, you will see a time of the week, a moment where Kevin and I uploaded a video with not a similar team. There were different teams, but with the same Pokemon in the thumbnail, which a bit of a taboo. Just in the PokeSports world, it's a bit of a taboo to use the same Pokemon twice. We try not to. We try very, very hard not to. And that involves more than just selecting a different Pokemon in the team. That involves like making a video that focuses around the Pokemon in the thumbnail.
Mm-hmm.
So both of us made a video around Oricorio.
Kaka.
And it's a very fun Pokemon. It's a wonderfully fun Pokemon.
It's actually a pretty decent Pokemon.
It's really good too. Yeah.
I had a great time with mine too.
It's got Dancer, which copies the dancing move of the Pokemon besides. So Aqua Step, it copies Quiver Dance, it copies Fiery Dance, it copies. The list goes on. There's actually quite an extensive list of dances.
It essentially allows your Pokemon to use, or your side of the field to use three moves that turn.
Yes.
Or switch out and use a move the same turn. It's wild.
Exactly. Now, we put those two videos side by side. They did different things, and they were different videos, and one was Kevin, one was Mike. So they were both different videos. I wanted to go and record another Oricorio video and just put it out for funsies. Mm-hmm. Kevin, on his day, went and put out the first Regulation D video of the channel, and it was on Ursaluna. We don't often care too much about the numbers, but this one ran numbers, folks. Like, people were down to watch Ursaluna, Wreckface, and Regulation D for good reason, right? Like, mm-hmm. not a lot of people were putting out that kind of stuff. A lot of people are still focusing on Ohio because that's later on in the month, and that's still going to be Regulation C. So that day, I tell Kevin that I want to go and put out another Oricorio video. And he's like, I don't know if that's a good idea. Cause I mean, look at what just happened, right?
I feel a little bad.
No, I mean, okay, to be fair, I will say this with love. You got mad. And that's okay. And that's totally okay. You
New York
did
on
it out of respect for the channel. You saw what was working and you're like, hey, maybe you should go and try this. And I was like, I just want to have fun, man. But eventually I did back down. I was like, hey, you know what? He's right. Like, for the good of the channel, we should be doing Regulation D. So this isn't to blow up your spot and say that she got mad.
My humble me. Put me in my place.
Yeah. But because of that, now we are not because of that, that and other reasons. Now we are doing Regulation D on the channel and it makes a lot of sense and it works really well. And I'm having a lot of fun with it, especially because we're on the casual ladder. So like things are just kind of easier sometimes.
Listen, Mike, I mean, I'll leave it up to you. You could use Oricorio in Reg D. How many? Victory Dance. Lilligant. You can run a Lilligant Torkoal team with Oricorio.
Victory Dance.
Victory Dance is a physical Quiver Dance. I'll save you some time.
Oh.
So it raises defense, attack, and speed. So you could do that. Indeed. And you could even do like after you, because Hisuian Lilligant is faster than Lilligant. So you can do after you eruptions on that team as well. You got options. Oh. You got a new dance move to use.
And I can use Chlorophyll. So I can use a Sun Team Hisuian Lilligant with Oricorio. It's coming back. Like, Oricorio is coming back. You won't know when, because I won't be putting it in the thumbnail. God, no, I won't be putting it in the thumbnail. I'm going to put Hisuian Lilligant in the thumbnail. When you see that, that's when you know.
You'll know.
That's when you know.
This is where Mike types to our mods. I need an Oricorio team in Reg D. Thanks.
Nah, that one I'm going to make myself.
Ooh, it's going to be Mike in the workshop, baby.
I'm going to be in the lab. I'm going to cook. So that's fun. Anyway, yeah. So that was kind of the birth of all of Reg D for the channel, but also just kind of a fun moment in PokeSports history where, you know, conversations were had.
We do think about this channel sometimes.
Don't we think hard about the channel. Yeah.
Speaking of Reg D, I made a great play that a comment just reminded me of.
Ooh, tell me.
I just got a comment on YouTube from Vic saying, holy, the skill swap strategy is genius. So what I ended up doing was I was against a flame orbed Ursaluna, and I have a skill swap in DD. I have that skill swap in DD to help me against like Ice Spinner. I took Guts from it. It's just a burnt Ursaluna. Then it did no damage to me. I was like, oh, that's a nice ability you have.
Oh, that's great. Wow, that's great. Wait, what? That's
Skill swap. Thanks.
Skill swap's useful now. Okay, skill swap wasn't useful for the first little bit because of Protosynthesis. You can't skill swap Protosynthesis. I believe. So that has made it kind of less useful. But now that home Pokemon are coming in and they have all their hominess, you can skill swap things like Prankster. You can skill swap things like Guts. You can skill swap things like Chlorophyll from a lot of Pokemon. Drought or Drizzle. There's lots of good use cases for skill swap now.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Anyway, Pokemon.
Back you know what? I think that brings us to our first topic pretty nicely. Let's get into usage stats for Regulation D.
Yeah, why not? Go right into Reg D.
We've been playing a lot of Reg D, so it's been interesting to see.
What are your thoughts on it so far? Because I'm in love. I'm in love mostly because Trick Room is playable again. There's so many new Trick Room Pokemon that it's like you have the Therian Anamorous, you have Hisuian Lilligant you can use in a Trick Room team just as a fast mode option for your Torkoal. Yeah. You have Ursaluna. Like, you can't. Have you experienced the damage of an Ursaluna yet?
I haven't.
It's hilarious.
I haven't burned myself. I haven't done the Ursaluna thing of getting burned and using Facade. And then I know that it does a ton of damage. But I will get there eventually. I'm trying. It was kind of like with Fluttermane, where I was just kind of trying to not do that first so that I can figure out how to beat it before I start using it. Because then at least I know what I'm supposed to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
I will get there for sure.
And you'll be like, what took me so long?
I often will. Surprisingly, not a ton of Ursaluna on the usage stats. So VGC data put out a first look at VGC 2023 Reg D. Compiled from some of the top rated showdown replays, which is really, really important to note because a lot of people will go into showdown and will just try out certain Pokemon that they think will be good or the theory craft will be good. The really good data is going to come from those top players who, you know, kind of separated the wheat from the chaff and got themselves up high. Mm-hmm. So looking at the usage test, we've got 70 teams that were above 1400 plus MMR matchmaking rating on the ladder. And the most interesting part of this whole tweet is, in my opinion, the ranking of which Pokemon are most often used. So we're going to be going over that. Unsurprisingly, and actually I say unsurprisingly, but the people who have not experienced Regulation D probably don't know this yet. The number one Pokemon seen in Regulation D is actually Urshifu.
We got the bear.
We got the bear.
Full bear team.
Full bear team. Kevin, you want to talk about Urshifu?
Urshifu breaks through protects, guys. that's all I got to really say. On top of it, you also do have pretty interesting, unique situation where they're given guaranteed crit moves, whether that be the Wicked Blow from the Dark Urshifu or the Surging Strikes from the Water Urshifu. That paired with being able to boost your Terra type even further is very scary. You can't hide behind a Protect anymore. And on top of all that, I think the role that Urshifu fills is a fast enough, strong enough fighting type in the game, because the reason Urshifu is played this much is because it's a fast version of Iron Hands that can break through protects that stop the ruinous Pokemon from being ruinous Pokemon.
Right. That's true. They're just released a group of four Pokemon all with dark type, and Urshifu, whether you're water or dark, also has that fighting type that it's just like, all right, I'll just close combat.
Not to mention they all get priority moves in Aqua Jet and and Sucker Punch. They all get close combat, which is a great step. And they can all terrestrialize away from something that's weak to Fluttermane. It's like you just, okay, water fighting Urshifu can just be a grass type. And then dark fighting Urshifu can just be steel type. Like, okay, I don't care about Fluttermane anymore. Good luck, Fluttermane.
You do need a little bit of speed control on your Urshifu in order to KO those Fluttermanes. But that's what Choice Scarf is made for. That's what Tailwind is made for. You have lots of options. Icy Wind on Iron Bundle works really well.
If only they released a new Prankster Tailwind setter. Oh, wait.
Exactly. 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 And we will get to that. But real quick, I do want to mention something that I thought of with Kevin earlier regarding Urshifu, both Durshifu and Watershifu.
Durshifu. His man said Durshifu. Can we put that? Okay. New shirt. Watershifu and Durshifu.
Durshifu and Watershifu. It's like a year and a half. No, several years late from the DLC. But you know, whatever. Let's go. think about when Urshifu came out. Okay. All right. We were in late stage Sword and Shield. Everybody knew what Dynamax did already, and Urshifu came in and it was like, okay, I'm going to kind of turn things on its head a little bit. I'm going to go through Protect. Dynamax was already doing that, so it didn't really need to Dynamax all that often. It could just kind of do the thing. Enter Scarlet and Violet, where Dynamax stopped being a thing, Urshifu stopped being a thing. And everyone was like, oh, wait a second. The thing that broke through Protect isn't a thing anymore.
It's a Dunsparce now.
So I'm going to go and toss Protect on everything. Yeah, it's a Dunsparce. I'm going to toss Protect on everything. And now Urshifu's back. And it's like, oh, hey, look at all this Protect here. Oh, is that paper? I love that. Pow, pow, pow. And now you see Surging Strikes going right through Protects. Now you see whatever single strike thing.
Wicked Blow.
Thank you. Going right through Protect. Easy peasy.
Yeah, that's like 52 out of the 70 teams had at least an Urshifu on it, whether it's water or dark.
Yeah,
it's a good Pokemon. Fun fact, Punching Glove, if you're on Punching Glove on Urshifu, you can't break through Protect anymore.
Huh.
So don't do you think that.
That's intentional? Is that intentional?
Because punching glove removes contact from contact based moves. So you don't get hurt by iron barbs. You don't get hurt by rough skin, but you also don't break through protect. So I guess Unseen Fist only works with contact moves, which is interesting.
I would love to know. Okay, wait, hold on.
Does
I would
love have to any know. Special attacks?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, like is Unseen Fist, does that not work on other moves? Yeah, okay. So the in-battle effect is actually when using a contact move.
Oh, okay.
Pokemon it does Unseen say that. Fist that makes sense. Protection moves, yeah.
The more you know.
If the Pokemon uses moves that make direct contact, it can attack the target even if the target protects itself. Wow. Wow. Amazing. It's like 3 years into Urshifu's life, and I just learned that about it. That's kind of cool. Coming in at number two is Fluttermane.
Wow.
Who'd have thought?
Honestly, I like not seeing it number one. And I think
that's nice.
I think it will go lower. With the introduction of a lot of these Pokemon, I think it will drop.
That's fair. A lot of people are still experimenting with it. 43 out of the 70 teams are using that 61%. You're still using Fluttermane. It still does check a good handful of things that have come into the meta. You see a lot of Cresselia right now, spoiler alert. You see a lot of Basque Legion. It does check Pokemon like those.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it does in some cases check Urshifu. Right? Like if you've already Terrid and you send out an Urshifu, as long as you have some way around the priority, your Fluttermane can still do quite a bit of damage. I'm seeing a lot of people bring like Indeedee now with Fluttermane again, just to get around things like Urshifu using priority.
I've also, the Flutterman, you can actually eat via to live Surging Strikes. I've seen that before.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. It's possible. There, listen, Flutterman might take a little bit of backseat, but if it doesn't, I don't think you can run 252 anymore. I think you have to run like some kind of like booster energy, bulky special attack variant, which will lower the speed tier a little bit, right? You won't have to be max speed to outspeed a Flutterman anymore. Maybe just a little bit less.
Right.
It's going to get interesting.
Speaking of interesting, we've got number three in the Reg D, which is Tornadus. The genie that has won the genie wars is Tornadus. War, yeah. 31 uses out of 71, out of 70.
Makes sense, man. Prankster. Prankster is good. We were in a meta where we were forced to use things like Talonflame and Murkrow if we wanted to get a priority Tailwind up because Whimsicott wasn't here anymore.
Right.
Now we have Tornadus. We have the next best thing.
That's true. You think about how often Whimsicott is used in any meta that Whimsicott's in. You just replace that with whatever is best. And in the case of that right now, that's Tornadus. If Whimsicott was in the meta, would that be there in place of Tornadus, do you think?
I think they'd
now
fight.
Now that Tornadus has Bleak Wind.
They fight for the spot. I was just about to say, now that Tornadus has like a very secure stab move on that's 100% accurate in the rain and can lower speed by in a 30% chance. I don't know, man. That makes I think they'd fight for that spot. But if it's a 1v1 scenario, Tornadus wins. Tornadus sure. will beat a Whimsicott in that matchup now. You don't have to rely on things like Hurricane to do damage. You can do literally a spread. The thing with these storm moves is that they're spread.
Yeah, they are.
Technically, it doesn't feel horrible to go for them without the rain. Because everyone's been there. You've all gone for blind Hurricanes. You've all done it. You never hit them. But it feels like, at least with a Bleak Wind Storm or a Sand Steer Storm or whatever, there's a chance you'll hit one of them. Doesn't matter which one. You might do damage that turn.
To remind people of what happened in Legends Arceus, all of the genies got these special moves that now that they're coming into Scarlet and Violet, they're here as well. They're spread moves. They're 100 power, 80 accuracy, except all of them, I believe all of them, are 100% accurate in the rain. Which one
except
is
except for Enamorous for there some you go. Reason. Yeah.
For some reason. This one already also has the chance to lower the speed stat. So it can be an icy wind. It has a 30% chance. Yeah,
it's 30
to
for bleak
lower
wind.
Speed. Yeah.
Yeah. The other ones do other things. We'll get to them when we get to those Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, we'll get to it. We've got Chen Pao coming in at number 4, 23 out of 70. That's 32%. Chen Pao is just, it's good, right? And you can bring it beside your Urshifus.
I was just about to say that might sound surprising to some until you remember who was number one.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. The thing that can now crit you is next to something that lowers your defense. Good luck.
It is a little spooky because that is because if you think about it, a crit does go through any kind of defense modifiers, but it goes down to your base defense. Right. Chen Pao lowers that base defense. Mm. By 25%.
Which makes it more meaningful because if Chen Pao worked the same way that like Zacian worked and just raised or lowered a stat or worked the same way Intimidate worked, it wouldn't technically make a difference. But now, since it's the base stat that gets lowered by Chen Pao, the crit makes the difference.
I think the math does a lot of work here, actually.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking, like, you're not actually doing 25% more damage necessarily because you've got it's a critical hit. Mm-hmm. You're doing 25% more damage off of the base damage, but that's a crit. So now you're doing what 1.5 times off of that. So that's what, like 33% more damage because of Chen Pao? That's
you asked the
amazing.
Wrong guy.
I'm asking the wrong guy. I think that is true, just the way the math works. So you're doing a ton of damage with Chen Pao and Urshifu, not just a little bit of damage.
Yeah, it's
you
good.
Still got your like Dragonites going for extreme speeds and stuff, but your critical hits do a lot.
And hey, man, those top 5 Pokemon are literally a team. Like you can, that's usually how this works. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, funny enough, not only are the top five Pokemon a team, but the top five Pokemon are actually top six, because coming in at number five is a tie between Heatran and Dragonite. Your boy Heatran coming in at 21 uses out of 70. That's just a full team right there. So tell me about what's so good about Heatran.
What's so good about Heatran is Fluttermane.
Sure.
Yeah, good luck, Fluttermane, sitting in front of a Heatran. On top of that, man, Heatran with Grass Terra. Heatran's stats are actually very good. It does a lot of damage. They're well distributed. It is tanky enough, has enough HP. It's not the fastest thing in the world, but you don't need fast Pokemon when you're just given such a great typing and such a great stat distribution and defenses. Heatran also gets access to Earth Power, Heat Wave, Flash Cannon, etc. But the cool thing is that now that you can Grass Terra, it allows you to play that mind game with your opponent, right? Are you gonna hit me with a fairy move? No, I'm Fire Steel. Are you gonna hit me with a ground move? I'm Grass Terra. Good luck. I resist it. Once you're Grass Terra, they can only hit you with ice, flying, what else? They can't hit you with fire because you have flash fire. Poison. All things that steel resist, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like you have to make a gamble. Are they gonna Terastallize? And your opponent could be like, I'm not gonna Terastallize. Good luck. It's just
they send out the Ting Lu, you have an answer. They send out the Fluttermane, you have an answer. I guess no. They send out a Dragonite, you have an answer.
It's pretty much a perfect one-to-one. Like there's no typing that you want to send into a steel type that Heatran doesn't care about as a grass type. So it's like it's just the perfect balance. It's the perfect type combination.
And then especially with the Pokemon coming in at number seven being Amoongus, seeing 18 out of 70 uses. It going for Spore on things like Heatran, that's what the Grass Terra is for. Now it's not getting Spored. It goes for Rage Powder. No.
You today.
Just Grass Terra and you're good as gold. No Goldengo required.
It could go for a Pollen Puff on you. But again,
it could.
If you're a Fire Steel type,
why would it?
Good luck.
imagine having the chutzpah to be an Amoongus going for a Pollen Puff, assuming a Terra onto a Fire and Steel type Pokemon. If it doesn't Terra, that does one damage.
Yeah, man,
one damage. Yeah,
and Heatran's part of the infamous Chalk core, which you guys will see in like the next couple of spots. It's just Chalk is still very good in Regulation D, but I don't know if that's because everyone's just kind of moseying on back to what was good in 2014, or if it's actually good. Because people always go with what they remember being good, but whether it's good, only time will tell.
And if I remember correctly, Chalk was Cresselia, Heatran, Amoongus, Landorus, Kangaskhan?
Yes, but we don't have Kangaskhan. Right, we have Urshifu now. We have Urshifu. And Ursaluna.
Yeah.
That's a normal type.
True. Very true. We haven't mentioned Ursaluna yet. It's not here yet, actually. We have top seven so far. We barely talked about Dragonite, because really Dragonite's just there because Chen Pao's there.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in number eight is actually one that I haven't seen personally on the ladder yet. That's Rillaboom. It's coming in at 17 out of 70.
Yeah, I think Rillaboom's pretty good. It's a fake out user that can get rid of psychic terrain so that you are less afraid of clicking fake out. Also, it just allows you to have a different terrain now, right? Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about Rillaboom that I've been seeing a lot, it's not on this list, but I think is kind of sleeper good, is Sneasler and Rillaboom are really nice next to each other. Because what you could do is bring the Sneasler with the Grassy Seed, proc that Unburden, become faster than a Fluttermane, and then you can even use Flying Terra Acrobatics, or you could just hit them with Dire Claws.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
There's a lot of synergy there.
I really have not paid too much attention to Sneasler yet. I know that it's good. I've used Dire Claw before, but I have not reached the point where I'm like, oh, Dire Claw. I should go for that. I still think of it as like a move that it used to be, that, you know, a similar move to what it used to be. No, I remember it as like poison. I think Poison Claw was an attack.
Poison Jab is. Shadow Claw.
There was some kind of claw move. Yeah, maybe it was Shadow Claw. Anyway, so I think of that when I look at Dire Claw, and I don't think of all the effects that it does yet, because I just have not been exposed to it enough.
It's a fun one. Yeah, I like it. Rillaboom. Rillaboom's pretty good. I mean, it does a lot of damage. I mean, we've talked about Grass Terra, Grassy Terrain, Wood Hammer on this channel 1,000 times over. Is it nerfed? Yes. Did it need the nerf? Yes. So I'm okay with where it is right now.
Yeah. Right?
There are moments where I'm like, I really love the Grassy Gladdy right now. It doesn't exist. Sorry. But
nah.
Who knows? Maybe DLC. Now,
right underneath Rillaboom, I am so, so excited to see this Pokemon here. We've got sitting in at 12 out of 70. That's Cresselia, baby.
Brother, Chris is correct.
Really?
It's so... Well, I'm on the Ursaluna team, I did have a Cresselia, right?
Yeah.
And the way the Cresselia was built, it was Electric Terra. Because Cresselia has Levitate. You now have a Cresselia with no weaknesses.
Bruh.
Easiest Trick Room of my life, man. It's like, okay, you try to stop Trick Room against a Cresselia with no weaknesses, with boosted defenses, next to an Indeedee. Be my guest.
What do you even do?
Imprison Trick Room is something you can do.
Imprison Trick Room, yeah.
There's nothing. There's nothing to do. And on top of that, Cresselia works very well next to Ursaluna, because you could spam EQs with the Guts boosted Ursaluna, and you have a Levitate, so it doesn't matter. And also Lunar Blessing clears statuses of you and your ally, and also increases the health, or restores your health of you and your ally as well. Which may sound like a nombo, like a no combo.
A nombo
with Ursaluna, because you're getting rid of the burn.
Okay.
But the way the speed tiers work, Ursaluna outspeeds Cresselia in Trick Room. So you'll get the attack off and then clear the status away. And then by the end of the turn, you get it back.
Right.
So it's so nice next to each other, man.
Wow. Yeah, I really like Cresselia right now. I think it fills a spot that we haven't really seen in a very long time. Which is just like hyper defensive utility.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen hyper defensive utility in a very long time in this game. We used to have Indeedee, I suppose. We used to have. I think it stops there for me. Murkrow.
When it comes
to
tank, yeah, not much. I mean, we didn't really. There wasn't no real tank meta. Maybe like the Dondozos, the Garganicles.
But even the those, they were used as
offensive.
Offensive. Yeah.
Right. They weren't used as full utility. That's fair. The other cool thing is that Cresselia gets access to Ally Switch.
Yes, it does.
Next to Ursaluna. So you can even Ally Switch away a Shadow Ball into a normal type. You can do a lot of fun things, man.
I just experienced that for the first time today when I was playing a video when I was recording a video that's going to come out tomorrow. They ally switched. Now, it didn't actually have anything to do with the move that I went for. Dirt off my shoulder.
Oh, damn. Look at you.
But exactly. But it did trigger a memory of using ally switch. And I don't like being in that memory. I want to go away from that memory. I would not like to play in that space.
Did you remember that it got nerfed, though? You can't use it twice in a row anymore?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Once they use it once, it's a 30% chance to happen again. It's like a protect.
It's a protect. Okay. That's interesting.
Thankfully, they nerfed that one. That was a little stupid.
But at the same time, you only ever needed it really the one time.
But there was always that mind game of doing it twice.
Yeah. But when will I do it? Yeah. And if you have Ally Switch and Protect in your kit, forget about it.
Good luck.
Which one's he going to go for first? Who knows? All right. Let's go one more down there, because the rest of them are just kind of, meh.
Nothing burgers.
Nothing burgers. Yeah. The 11 out of 70 usages. That's another tie. Our first tie was at 21 with Heatran and Dragonite. Our second tie is at 11 with two ground type users. Let's see if you can think of it, folks.
Which ground type will we choose today?
Who's that Pokemon? Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Land bear, sky bear.
Land bear. It's the land bear.
Land bear, sky bear.
Hello. Landorus and Ursaluna. Both Pokemon with the ground type and a really funky second type.
Yeah.
Yeah. Landorus with the flying type so that it's not Therian, by the way, Landorus Therian, that it doesn't get hit by other ground moves and that it doesn't get hit by electric moves because it has the ground typing. And then also, Ursaluna because of the Shadow Ball immunity. Yes.
Intimidate. Did you notice there was no Arcanine on this list? Guess what? Arcanine wasn't even a thought to these 70 players because less than four of them probably had it because that's all the information we're given.
Yeah.
Landorus has replaced Arcanine. Congratulations. Welcome your new Intimidate setter. GG Arcanine, GG Gyarados, GG Luxray, wherever you were. Yeah.
Was Luxray in this game?
Yes, it was.
Oh, no.
And also, we've already been over Ursaluna earlier on, but yeah, it hurts. It hurts bad. It's got a perfect type stat distribution, and it makes that noticeable.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing holding the Ursaluna back, I would say, is still the presence of Protect in Scarlet and Violet. If, you know, an Ursaluna gets protected into because of an obvious attack incoming, that can be pretty detrimental to it. It doesn't really want to take too many hits. It doesn't want to waste its turns. If you have an Ursaluna on your team, it needs to do the work.
Especially on the special defense side. Defensive side, you can get away with a little bit more, but you have to remember you're on a timer thanks to the burn.
Exactly. Exactly. As well as on Skill Swap. So
yeah.
Did we talk about here that here? No,
that might have been a preach talk. Yeah, there was a.
Say it again, buddy.
During the, I think it was the Therian Enamorous video, on the YouTube channel, I had a Skill Swap on my ND because I originally had it to reset my terrain up once a Rillaboom comes out or once I get Ice Spinnered. You could just skill swap your psychic terrain to give it to someone else and reset your psychic terrain. But I came across the very unique moment where I was like, oh, there's an Ursaluna in front of me. I can get that guts. So I ended up doing that. I took the guts away from him.
Oh, no.
He's now a burnt Ursaluna without guts. Went for an attacking move. Did like no damage. It was a great moment. Yeah, what's even funnier? You want to know what's even funnier?
I do.
It was my Ursaluna theme. it was the team. The team that Bruno and I built, it was that one.
Come for the king, you best not miss. Oh my gosh. Got those guts.
GG's random That's person great. On the internet.
GG's random person. Okay, well, those are the top that must have been 12 Pokemon. That is exactly 11.
The top enough Pokemon.
I'll give you 12. It's Iron Bundle. 10 out of 70. Iron Bundle's still here. Whoop-dee-doo.
Shocker. You're telling me they replaced Arcanine for Landorus and Iron Bundle is still here? Weird.
Strange. But yes, it is still here. Chiyu is also here somewhere, honorable mention, as well as Indeedee's and Bascule Legion's in here somewhere, and you know Thundurus is seeing a little bit of play, but right now everybody is really focusing on the highly offensive Pokemon to like really really take down the Fluttermanes, as well as Tornadus to kind of enable those Pokemon to do so.
Good stuff is good,
because if you don't, Fluttermane's just gonna keep on being Fluttermane. It's gonna flutter all over the mains. So
yes, we don't want that.
Nobody wants their mains fluttered. Let's move on. We've got a ton of teams and results that we're barely going to go over because we're already so close to time here.
We should at least do, I think, Milwaukee and Fresno.
We'll definitely do Milwaukee. Those are NA ones. Yeah. Here, I'll give some breathing room to Milwaukee by going over some short ones first. Last week we mentioned, I believe, Santiago and Turin. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you who won in Turin. That was an Earthworm team.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, baby. We've got Fluttermane, Earthworm, Chenpao, Gyarados, Tinglu, and Dragonite. And of course, this is the Shed Tail Earthworm with Body Press, Heavy Slam, and Iron Defense. So it's the Earthworm that you think it'd be.
By Nico David Cogneta. Yeah, that's right. Honestly, this team is like the end-all, be-all best version of Series 3 or Regulation C Earthworm that I think exists. It's so consistent. Yeah, this is like the best six that you can probably do together. Does really good.
I do love that it faced right off against Simone Sanvito's team, which is what I would say is the end all of Regulation C.
That is the perfect team, yeah.
It is the perfect Regulation C team. Mm-hmm. And then the Earthworm just comes in at the last moment and it's like, hey, I can do this.
For those of you that don't know what that is, that's Fluttermane, Amoongus, Chiyu, Gyarados, Tinglu, and Iron Hands.
Yeah, it does everything that you need a team in Reg C to do. And the Iron Hands doesn't even have Fake Out, which I would have normally assumed would have been on it. It's Drain Punch, Wild Charge, Swords Dance, and Detect. Swords Dance is a very important move on Iron Hands. Doesn't really matter.
We don't have Urshifu, so we have to make our Iron Hands hurt like Urshifu.
Exactly. have you been using Swords Dance on your Urshifu, by the way?
I have not yet, but I've been using primarily Water Urshifu. I haven't yet touched Dark Urshifu, but I do think Dark Urshifu is where Swords Dance does best.
True. Okay, so that's Turin. I'm really, really impressed by the top two there. I do want to give a big honorable mention to number three, Roberto Peretti, who ended up with this... Never mind. I'm not going to say that part. Who brought in a Breloom.
Ooh.
Breloom and a Magnezone. Who'd have thought?
Spicy Magnezone.
Still rocking the Breloom Magnezone in Regulation C. Really into that. In Santiago, which happened on June 4th, top team was a Goldengo Mousehold. Goldengo, Mousehold, Amoongus, Iron Bundle, Great Tusk, and Talonflame. So, of course, you have the Great Tusk Talonflame combo that does really, really well. Then coming in second, again, we have that same Earthworm team.
Earthworms, hey, legit, man. It used to be a meme. It's not a meme anymore. It's actually a good Pokemon, a pretty top-tier Pokemon. These are top eight finishes. Heck, in the same tournament, Earthworm, exact same team, ended fourth.
Right?
Yeah, so it's a pretty strong team. If you guys want to schlurm for the worm, play that team.
Schlurm is Earthworm's German name.
Yes.
Nobody should ever forget that. Please.
Schlurm for the worm.
Schlurm for the worm. Since then, we have had... Since then we've had at least two other challenges happen. One being the Fresno Regional Championships, which happened June 10th and 11th, had 285 players, which as far as I know is one of the lowest that we've had in VGC in North America this year.
It is the lowest. Yeah. And I think a big reason because it is the lowest because this was recently announced, like, I think less than a month ago. Yeah. So a lot less people were able to take time off work that they need. Less people were able to travel to Cali. And Fresno isn't the most populous city in California. That's for a fact. So less people were just around while the Pokemon tournament was happening. But what was interesting about this number is that this allowed for 6-3s to make day two, which was interesting. It went back to the old format since we never hit the kicker for the 7-2 day twos. So what it was 9 day one Swiss rounds and 5 day two top 32. So it wasn't the 7-2 Swisses. It was top 32. So that allowed some 6-3s to squeak over. So that's kind of cool.
Very cool. Yeah. Gives the people who don't always top perform a chance to at least get some CP. Yeah, I will say that the CP payout was fine. Never mind. I was going to say it wasn't as high as it could be, but it wasn't
128. It was 64 instead. Yeah,
exactly. However, coming out on top was Emilia Forbes. Not the first time that Emilia Forbes has come out on top.
It's funny because this was the last regionals of the season for NA. And people were wondering where Emilio Forbes was because he wasn't going to regionals, but he was still playing Pokemon. Like, this was a big Sword and Shield name. You'd expect to see him.
Yeah.
This is the first tournament he came to in Scarlet and Violet. He went undefeated day one and then only lost one game of Swiss day two and won the whole thing.
Can I just say, I'm not surprised.
Too good.
He's too good at the game. Yeah. And
people are like, there were tweets. I remember seeing tweets saying it wouldn't be a VGC season unless Emilia won.
sure.
So GGs, man. You're good at this game.
I'm not fully keeping up with Emilia Forbes specifically. Is that his world's invite? Does he have it?
I don't know.
He definitely got 200 CP from that. Now, if he's going to Ohio, then all he needs to do is win 100 CP.
All he needs to do is do what he's been doing. Yeah.
Do what he's been doing and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Bring the same team. Why not? It's still Regulation C.
Yeah.
He went in with a Fluttermane, a Moongus, Arcanine, King Gambit, Iron Bundle, and Iron Hands. So, folks, if I were you and you are going to Ohio for NAIC, figure out how to beat this team. Okay?
Yeah.
Because Emilio's good at this team. He's good at the game, but I would assume that he's good at this team. And if he's already beating this in a what most people would call solved meta, if this is what he's playing, beat it.
Mm-hmm.
Beat it and you're good.
I want to give like quick shout outs to like a couple of players here that are just playing the same teams at every regional they go to and consistently doing well with them. They're not changing. So that just goes to show, like, if you can learn a team and play it well, doesn't matter what the archetype is, you can get results. Like Gavin Michaels, this is pretty much the exact same team that he won OCIC with months ago.
We have seen that Azumarill so much.
Yeah. I think the only thing that's different here is there was a Palafin in here and the Palafin is gone.
Right.
That's the only difference that I'm seeing right now. Alberto Lara still bringing the keys and get seventh place. He hasn't given up on Klefki, dude.
Those are $500 keys right there. Alberto comes in, wins 100 CP and $500, brings a Klefki and a Corviknight.
Yeah, man.
The bird and the keys won him half a grand. Not bad.
So yeah, respect to the players for being good at this game.
Big respect. Absolutely. So that's Fresno. Again, less than 300 people. It gives the people who aren't the usual champions, I think, a chance to, you know, get up there and taste top eight. There are a lot of names in there that you don't really see too often. And it's really cool to see those new people in there.
Mm-hmm.
So really happy about that. And then the other thing that went on June 10th and 11th, 118 players, was the Pokemon Japan Championships 2023. They do things a little bit different over there.
A lot of it different.
Day one is closed team sheets.
Yeah.
Best of one double elimination bracket. With a best of three grand finals. Yeah, it's best of one closed team sheets. It's ladder.
How do they? I don't know how you guys play in Japan, y'all. That's rough.
Yeah. And then day two is open team sheets, but with closed Terra types. Yeah.
You guys are just. I don't get it. But the thing is, they have to go to Worlds and play Pokemon rules. Completely different format. When they go to Worlds, they have to play in our format, which is so weird. It's not even close. They get an open team sheet. I mean, heck, if you could be good at whatever format that is in Japan, I'm sure you can figure out what we're doing over here. It's just baby mode over here.
Yeah, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Exactly. Mm. The winner of that one was Kaito Ari, who went in with Mouseape.
Like, I respect we're, that.
Yeah, we're seeing Mouseape at the end of Regulation C, and I'm loving it. We've got Mouseape, Mousehold and Nihilape. We've got Ting Lu and Talonflame, Grimmsnarl and Iron Hands. They're all very solid Pokemon to be bringing at this point of the game. But a Grimmsnarl, yeah.
Grimmsnarl's a little weird. But hey, Grimmsnarl in a close team sheet, I get it. Like, you don't know what it's going to do. It has a lot of things that it can do. It's going to set screens. It's going to parry you. What's it going to do? Right?
Can I tell you the one thing that it does have is Misty Terrain.
Didn't think it was going to do that. Yeah.
It's Spirit Break, Reflect, Light Screen, and Misty Terrain.
Oh, which makes sense. Stops burns. Stops dragons. Mm-hmm. Stops Glaive Rush. Not bad.
It's not a bad choice. But then, yeah, it's the same beat up tactic on Annihilate.
That won't change.
Nothing too different about the rest of it. Yeah.
Hey, listen, you don't have to be different. The thing with Mouseape is that because it's closed team sheets, there's a world where that's a population normal Terra Mousehold and a final Gambit Ape to just completely throw you off guard. There's a world where that is a possibility, and that mind game might be enough to tilt your opponent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is it going to do?
Well, and to be honest, if we look at what happens what happened with the final battle, that Misty Terrain did come in handy because our player who came in second, Hadoka Hatakiyame, came in with a Backscalibur.
Oh, there you go.
So there's might the Backscalibur happened. You were talking about. No more Glaive Rush. Don't have to worry too much about that.
Hmm. Dragon moves cut in half.
Cut in half, baby. Anyway, yeah, 118 players, a lot of world's competitors coming out of Japan here.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see how they fare against the rest of the world coming into Japan to play Worlds. Yes. And then we can go over to Milwaukee.
Back to Milwaukee.
Yes.
Cheese curds for everybody.
I can close that. Cheese curds for everyone. Is that a thing?
Yes. That is a thing that we ate.
Milwaukee's known for its cheese curds?
Wisconsin is known for its cheese. If you look up Green Bay Packers, their mascot is cheese. Just look up Green Bay Packers right now. Cheese.
Cheese. Cheeseburger. Yep. There it is. Big cheese head. Oh, wow. Everybody wears cheese hats. Cheddar cheese hats. Yes. Neat.
Little cheese hats.
Cool. I'd love to represent an export. Milwaukee had 563 players.
I was one of them.
Kevin was one of them.
Look at That's me. Right. I'm a statistic.
We were talking about the winner of the competition because we at least knew that last week, which was Brian Yume, who I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but now does follow us on Twitter. So if you do listen to the podcast, hi. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
You did great.
Good job, man.
Good job. And he came in with the team that we said is the solution to Regulation C.
Makes sense.
So that's Fluttermane, Amoongus, Chiyu, Gyarados, Ting Lu, and Iron Hands. It covers a lot of stuff.
Everything. That is balance. That is as balanced as balance can be.
If I were a smart player, which I'm sometimes, I would take this team because everybody's taking this team and I would play a ton of it. Going into Ohio at the end of the month, I want to at least be highly ready to face off against this team. Know the nuances that would happen with it. At the very most, I'd want to use it.
But
I won't be using it.
Yeah. If we were good players, we'd be taking this team to Ohio. But since we're Kevin and Mike, we might be bringing Oricorio instead.
I might definitely be bringing Oricorio. That, by the way, I realized that at the beginning when we were talking about it, I didn't know how to land the plane of that conversation. The way that I land the plane is the whole reason I wanted to bring it up is because I am deciding to bring Oricorio to NAIC because of all of that which happened. It is just that stuck in my head. It's living in my head rent-free, this Oricorio.
But yeah, yes. Good job, Brian. Also, yes. Shout out to Conkledonk getting fifth place. Conkledonk meeting us at a lot of regionals as well.
Conkledonk, yeah, that's his name, huh?
Yeah, that is his name. That's not his real name. I can't pronounce your real name, but I will call you Conkledonk. Also, congratulations on your engagement, by the way. I saw your Twitter post.
Hey.
Also, Palmot, hello. Great job. What the heck?
Whoa.
Glad that's there. Also,
and we've got Don Dozo.
Yeah, I don't respect you for that part, but hey, Palmot. No. Also, shout out to Roller Costa, who did stop me from making day two. I appreciate you.
That
good job.
Okay.
Good job on eighth place.
Gotta say that. Well, one, that team is pretty cool. We've got the Golden Go in there as well. One of the three that showed up in top eight, which is a lot more than I thought would show up in regulation C. But his in-game name, Rolla Costa, his name is Austin Acosta.
Yeah.
So he's just Rolla Costa. That is the best use of your name. I wish
Beautiful.
That I could use my last name in a word.
You can.
I have not found that word.
I have.
You have?
Yes. I think.
Can you say it on the podcast?
No.
No. Okay. Right. Cause it's a word that you made up.
Yes.
So, okay. Got it. Cool. So that's Milwaukee. Did you want to say more about Milwaukee? I know you wanted to have some time with us.
I'm glad that the Worm got third place. Good job, Alex Underhill. Also, Paul Chua, you're OP. Stop it. That's pretty much it. I mean, just great players all around. I feel like we're at the point of the meta where the good teams are the good teams, the bad teams are the bad teams, and there's not much left to figure out. But I don't know. Maybe NAIC will surprise us. Typically, NAIC is one of the least, or typically international challenge in general, are one of the least diverse metas because people want to win. There's Worlds invites on the line. But hey, who knows? Maybe something will surprise us. I know on stream there was like a Gardevoir for Fresno, so that you never know what's going to happen at this point.
I would absolutely love to see someone just go into NAIC and just rock it with like something completely different.
That's
something
you, Mike.
That nobody has.
It's your opportunity.
I don't think Oricorio is it, but it'll be fun. And the more that I say it, the more I'm like, I'm spending money to go to this place and bring a bird that dances. Am I committing to that? Yes. Yes. I have already committed to it.
If it makes you feel better, I'm bringing Flush Hands and on a Hard Trick Room team. I've already decided.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It's my most consistent play. And like I said, with like last week on this podcast, I was happy with the way I played. In Milwaukee, it was just bad things were happening to me. So I hope that just they won't happen this time.
Sure. Sure. Fair
Fingers
enough.
Crossed.
Well, that is going to be it for us this week. We've talked about just so much. We've gone over all of the regionals, I believe, that have been going on, and including Japan. Including, yeah. We went all the way over to Japan today.
We flew a lot today, man.
We frequent flyers.
Before we regret it.
Yeah.
How many weeks of questions are we missing right now?
So that's, so that's where I was going next.
Okay.
Folks, I know that we have not been answering the questions for the past couple of weeks. I think that we can save that for next week and just have like an all questions episode.
We do have a dead week. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's kind of a dead week, yes, but also like we can have a nice like talk full episode. So I think this week's question,
what about an ask us actually, anything episode
is going to be an AMA. exactly.
Yeah, ask us anything.
If you have any kind of questions, pop them in for us and we'll answer them next week.
I like that. It's been a while. Get to know Kevin and Mike.
One more time, get to know Kevin and Mike. Well, folks, if you want to catch a little bit more of us, you can do so on YouTube, youtube.com/pokesports, where we put out a video every single day highlighting a different type of Pokemon, except when it's Oricorio, we do that twice. You can also follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/pokesports, where Kevin may or may not make an appearance this week.
Just say I will, so I have to commit to it. Thanks.
Kevin may make an appearance to yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you missed it. Good job, guys.
Go watch the VOD. It's there. Where else? Where else? Spotify. Hey, you know what? You know what I haven't asked you to do in a little while? Go and share this podcast with somebody who maybe appreciates Pokemon, but hasn't really played in a little bit. Maybe wants to get back into it, see what's new, because there are a lot of new Pokemon coming back in. Mm-hmm. That they could go and enjoy. It's a good time.
Tell a friend.
And then if you want one other place to go and check out this week, last week I was on an episode of the Game Corner.
Mike, out here crashing other podcasts.
I straight up crashed a podcast. Harrison was like, hey, you know what? Does anybody want to be recorded? And I was like, yeah, I got nothing to do. Let's go. I was straight up playing Diablo 4 during the first 10 minutes of that, and I made it known, but it was a good time. We had a very good time.
Beautiful.
It's their longest podcast to date, and I don't regret it. So that's all for us.
If you like so Poke much. Sports, you're pretty much going to like Game Corner. Anyway, Mike was trying to leave. I'm going to let him leave. Good night, everybody.